a few of you after the classes and during the sessions, but there are still a lot of questions, I think, or opportunity. We should have opportunities to go more into details which are maybe relevant for us. A good question is a question which helps us to go into a particular detail which we need to know in order to understand fully or practice fully. And often without these details, this personal application formulas, the medicine will not work. And since we are all on our own individual path with the Holy Name, we are all on our own journey with the Holy Name, hopefully from this world to the real world, we need to know detailed or personal instructions. So in this last session which we have, we are really looking for such personalized or specific information which we still require and which maybe we can get from our from the teachers. So I encourage you now to we will have a little pause. No, it's not a pause. We will there will be about a minute or so where I request you to dig a little bit deep and find out what personal information you need and to put that into a question which elicits hopefully the required answer which you need. Bhurijan Prabhu and myself discussed this morning that we really felt you were a wonderful group. Right from the start, you were startlingly there. You remember, I was surprised. I asked you, is everything all right with you? You're so silent. So I really feel we can, if we all give our best, make this a very important and potent session. And therefore, I request you to take just 1 minute for yourself, and then we will and then ask your questions. Please think now, and the minute ticks away now. Okay. Please ask your questions. Sankirtan Prabhu, then I saw this Prabhu, your good name? Abhishek. Abhishek of the Holy Name. Abhishek. There were some Ananda Chaitanya, I believe. And we have a lot of questions. Let's start with the three. Sankirtan, please.
Hare. There's two, let me say like this, I have taken a few notes here. Overall, my experience on this seminar was a reassuring experience, and especially the what we aim for came out through the Lila Kat, the Lila Kirtans, the pure love experience that which is awaiting for us. And then the other reassuring experience is that I can feel myself, I'm kind of on the right track with the priorities which we learned here, the hearing of the Holy Name and the prayerful mood like that. And so then anyway, I had some more things to elaborate on, but now I want to ask a question. In that whole scenario from moving of from the conditioned selfish condition or the polluted condition of mind into the pure condition of mind, there is a feature of a spiritual master and the relationship to spiritual master, which we haven't much heard about in relation to the holy name. And so my thought or my question is, pure love is on one side, and here on this side we have the relationship which are tinged with selfish, exploitative motives. Now the approach to the spiritual master as a medium, what is the ideal relationship from the two extremes? Because I can understand it can't be pure love for the guru, so it's likely a mixture of all kinds of feelings. So what is it, the right attitude from both sides then? I mean, as the student or the disciple towards the spiritual master, and also from the spiritual master towards the disciple to help him to get to that goal. Mm-hmm. Is my question kind of...
Yes, it makes a lot of sense. Would it be all right if I answer this question, Burijampu?
No, please.
The spiritual master is important as a guide on our journey from selfishness to unconditional love of Krishna. So how should we form our relationship to the spiritual master, and how does he form our relationship with us? The relationship with the spiritual master is described to be in the beginning one of respect. We have to be careful dealing with him because we are still a little bit tainted by material influences, not a little, but to various degrees. So respect is the safest position from which we start our relationship. Now, as we are moving on in our relationship to the spiritual master, it is natural that affection is added to this respect. That is natural if the relationship goes in a normal way. It can come to a state which Jiva Goswami describes, which is Vishrambena Yataguro, something like this, he says. Without respect, that is, with affection, we're dealing with our spiritual master. That is where we can come to. But normally, the relationship, the disciple-guru relationship, is one of respect. And that respect always remains there. Even look at Govinda Das, the servant of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the personal servant, and how he would, out of love for his spiritual master, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, even step over him in order to do his service. But out of respect, he would not cross him when it was for his own meal taking. So this is how we deal with respect. It's always is there, but as we grow more in our relationship, affection comes there. Now the spiritual master's relationship to the disciple is one of parental care. He feels like the disciple is like a child who needs to be at times corrected, at times supported, at other times you know, guided. It's all these things which a parent does to the child. And the disciple looks for such a relationship. Now, how should we see the spiritual master? You said in the beginning that most properly it is mixed when we come from the selfish corner. Raghunath Goswami answers this question by saying we should see him as Mukunda Preshta, very dear to Lord Mukunda. That is how we see. Oh, a lot of questions come here which we should definitely give our attention to. So therefore we will stop the answer here. Please ask your question, Prabhu.
Thank you so much. During the course of the Japa retreat and in other places, many devotees have given different instructions on how to chant Japa. Some emphasize just hearing, some emphasize meditating on the meaning.
This is a question to Buriram Prabhu. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or some emphasize, you know, you should remember the form of Krishna. I heard one devotee mention that there are 8 stages in the chanting of Hare Krishna. I don't really know how we are placed on those 8 levels.
How?
Where we are placed on those 8 levels, or what stage of chanting we should actually follow along those 8 stages. Would you please elaborate on those 8 stages and how we approach them?
Well, we approach them from the bottom with a straw between our teeth. And the 8 stages, there's different ways to look at it. They can correspond to the 8 verses of Shikshastakam according to Bhajan Rahasya. They can correspond to the 7 different glorifications of the holy name Mahaprabhu gives in the first verse of Shikshastakam. Chaito Dharparamajaram Bhava Mahadavagni Navaparam. They could refer to that's the basic way. From Shraddha to Prema is one way to look at it. So, how do we know which stage is appropriate for us? Was that basically the question?
Also, what would the, for example, with the 8 stages, at what stage do we start meditating on the meaning?
It's not that we just start. Prabhupada answered that question very, very clearly, that it's such a wonderful stage when the Leela comes to us. When it's there, it's what we're all longing for Krishna to manifest his pastimes. But we don't artificially try to place them in our mind. What we should do is, just as you mentioned, we should start by trying to hear the holy name and then gradually coat that hearing with the understanding of the mantra's meaning, which is, let me be your servant, O Krishna, O Lord, O energy of the Lord. Please accept me as your servant. And that's the essence of the prayers. Now these stages, these basics, is please allow me to serve you. And that's the prayerfulness that coats the chanting of the Maha Mantra. That I want to serve you. And then as the mantra interacts with our consciousness through the process of hearing and the intention of wanting to serve Krishna, then the purifying effect of the mantra is Shreya Karaiva Chandrika Vataranam. That's the white lotus of our good fortune or our spiritual life develops by the Chandrika, by the moonlight of the potency of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So one of the principles in spiritual life, one of the basic principles of spiritual life is no pretension, which means what?
Don't pretend to be something you're not.
Yes, so just take it very, very, very simply. And I saw the way that Maharaj began. He was talking about start trying hearing, the first Hari, and I also add to that, you know, the Krishna, and the, just try to hear a name of Krishna, and then think, then gradually as you, if when your mind calms down a bit and focuses on the mantra, then try to infuse that hearing with, oh, let me serve you. And when that's really pulling on the heart, then we wait for the reciprocation of Krishna. And the reciprocation of Krishna is the Maha Mantra taking over and purifying and awarding so many things, realizations to us.
Thank you, that's quite clear.
Wonderful. Would you like to add anything?
No, it's just good.
Oh, yes. Looks like our email inbox is growing every minute.
Hare Krishna. We have heard three things. How do we reconcile these? One is that we should chant for Radhesham's pleasure, and one is that we should cry out for deliverance from material existence, and third is that we should concentrate on hearing the Maha Mantra. So how do we reconcile this? And along with good chanting, what else do we need to go back to Godhead?
Hare Krishna. It's a very relevant question. Many devotees said, you said we should hear, then we should cry out to Krishna, then we should this, our Prabhu said another third thing, and then what else, you know, and we know, and the mind can only do one thing at a time, you know. Or maybe two, you know. Have you ever done this? It's called juggling. Juggling? Is it called juggling?
It is, certainly.
And you know, some can do two. But I just saw a film where a person who claimed to be a multitasker, you know, driving, phoning, then cooking a pizza in the back of his car, you know, multitasker, where it was found out that actually he was put into a difficult situation where he had to drive by a few obstacles, and it became clear he could only do one task properly, that is driving. When he tried to drive and cook a pizza at the same time, he ran into a wall.
So, and burned the pizza too.
And burned the pizza, yes. Good. So when you chant, you also have to be afraid of, or you have to avoid multitasking, because then you might not do the work properly, you know, ahead of you. It's a little bit, I hope I can give the answer properly. You start by just connecting your mind with the chanting. That is attentive chanting. That's really where you should start. And then, as you have attentive chanting going on, slowly you bring the other faculties which you have to that attentive chanting. Let me make it very clear. Okay, you start. Okay, how do I now? I need to now connect with this practice. You can do this by telling your mind, well, this is Radha and Krishna, and I'm worshipping Radha and Krishna. You have to be there at that specific time. I didn't want to say be here now, because that's a book title from the 60s. You have to connect with that. And then, as you are chanting, you can slowly bring yourself into into chanting more completely, but the whole idea always remains focus on the chanting. I would like to give you an example. Who knows of you bicycling? In bicycling, there are two principles which always need to be kept. You have to keep moving, otherwise you fall into the ditch, and you have to keep your direction strong, otherwise you go into another village than the village you wanted to come. That is there, direction and energy. But as you're doing this, you can think, well, you can think, let me look a little at the landscape, but not at the cost of direction, of driving in the right, you know, driving forward. Let's make it simple. In bicycling, this driving forward, you know, that is the whole principle of bicycling. That's why it was constructed. It's made like this. But as you do that, you can definitely, as you become more accomplished in driving forward on your bicycle, you take other things which are helpful. For instance, the timely recognition of obstacles on the path is also important when driving forward. Then you can consider the wind, you know, and how you, when the wind comes from the front, you bow down a little bit. But everything you do only assists the purpose of driving forward. So in the chanting, you also have this one purpose, to chant attentively and with affectionate respect Krishna's name. You know, that's the idea of chanting. You chant Krishna's name attentively. No. And as you do this, you take into consideration all the things which help you, like avoiding offenses, like, you know, connecting with Krishna, and so on. And you do them in such a way, very important, in such a way that it serves your purpose to chant attentively. I've sometimes seen devotees chant, and then they thought, well, we have to connect with Krishna. How do we do this? Well, best is we see a Krishna movie at the same time, you know. And then they saw little Krishna, you know, that cartoon you have seen. And I asked them, what is this? Well, I'm mixing the name with Leela here. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Prabhuji, some misunderstanding has arisen in you, you know. So this is my answer. Now, if you get confused by so many things, by so many instructions, go back to that main thing, driving forward or chanting attentively. Or as Prabhupada said, just chant and hear. You know, just chant and hear. He was asked, because a devotee was getting confused, you know, what to do with my mind during chanting. And he said, no question of the mind. Where the question of the mind? You just chant and hear. That's the essential principle. And always return to that. And the other things which you hear, they are meant to help this principle. So we have now dealt with the first three questions on the microphone. Now we will deal... What? Yeah, there are many more, but here is a pile. So you stay at the microphone, and we will just do... Bhujan Prabhu and myself will now attack this pile. Attack is not the word. Handle this pile. And then after some time, we will go back to the microphone. Sit down, be on the microphone. It's your microphone. Don't worry. We won't take it away. You can sit there. But we will now go to this a little bit. And then we have a change of energy. Bhujan Prabhu. please use all your magical potency to...
I think it more of attacking the pile before it gets bigger and bigger and attacks me. You're very good at... Could you pick me one? Mm-hmm. You're very good at this.
Okay.
I have my eyes closed and my heart open. This is the question for
me. Okay.
Dear Satchinandana Maharaj. No.
Didn't work.
Just making a little joke.
No, you made a joke. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Go ahead.
For attentive chanting to be focused continuously is very imp, which means important. Yes. And there is very strong tendency to lose our focus, to get distracted by apparently other imps, also important services, especially for grihasthas. So when we sit the chant, how to keep focus and prevent the mind from getting diverted by thoughts of our other duties and responsibilities. So I will do something that I shouldn't do, which I often do. In the Japa book, I'll refer to a book that I talk about this point, about bringing yato yato nischalati. Bring your mind back. There's a few things one have to do when one begins to chant japa. And one is you have to know what you're supposed to be doing. And Maharaj said it so clearly, unequivocally clearly, that the main thing we're doing is making the attempt to associate with Krishna by being attentive. And that's taking a big step towards Krishna. And we have to become determined about that. We have to know clearly this is what I have to do now. And then the mind will wander because manas chanchalam astiram, it's the very nature of the mind. It will wander. And Krishna's instruction is to bring it back. Bring it back to the task. And the task isn't the right word, but the service we're doing now is chanting Krishna's holy name, doing our best to be with Krishna as we chant in the foundational way, by being attentive. And how to do that, one has to be abhyasan vairagya. One has to be practice this, that when I sit down, if we sit down in the same place at the same time, and when we can have the opportunity to be peaceful, we turn off the mobile phone, we don't have the computer on, and we just sit down and get our mind very clear that I don't have anything else to do now other than chant and hear and let my mind develop, let myself develop my relationship with the holy name. So that, in one sense, that question is the essential question what this japa retreat is based on. Not only for grihasthas, but everyone in the material world has a mind that's grasping at things. So when it's time to chant japa, we have to carefully choose a time to chant japa when we can chant and focus our mind on what we are doing, and that is chanting japa. And then not only do we have to have the time, but we have to make a determined effort that this is all we have to do now. This is all I have to do now. And if our mind wanders and we pick up this and we look to that, and I see this with myself, that this is what the mind will tend to do. Again and again, I will sit down, and then because I will tend to want to avoid to confront my lack of taste in chanting, then my mind will start looking for other things to do to distract it. And therefore, yato yato nischalati manas chanchalamasti. We should bring our mind back to making the simple attempt to hear the first Hari and the name of Krishna, the name of Rama. And gradually, if we are determined, we will become enchanted by the holy names, and the mind will cool down, it will learn this good habit, and our chanting will be easier.
Wow, this was the fifth question which you put there. Yes, a question to His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj. It worked. Here,
yeah.
See.
It's true.
It's true. How does the knowledge that the name and the Lord are non-different help one in improving his quality of chanting? How do we use this knowledge to improve our chanting? Kindly elaborate on this information. How does the knowledge that the name and the Lord are non-different help one in improving his quality of chanting? First, you know this theoretically. You have heard it from Shastras, you have heard it from the mouth of devotees. Krishna and his name are non-different. But you have not realized it. And so by chanting, according to the guidelines which Bhujan Prabhu has just elaborated on, you know, first chant attentively and then allow the relationship with Krishna to grow, you will, in the practice, come to realize one day that the Lord and the name are non-different. You will see, as you chant, a clear impression in your heart of Krishna standing there in his threefold bended form, smiling at you, and you will notice, wow, I was not attentive to this. I once read a nice little story how the name reveals himself to be Krishna. Once there was a very offensive beggar in a kingdom. He always spoke bad about the king, spread lies and rumors. And the good king thought, I want to help this beggar, not by imprisoning him, but by showing him the actual fact. So the king himself was donning the garments, means he dressed in the garments of a beggar, the ragged garments of the beggar, and he went out to the beggar and said, I know the secret entrance into the king's palace. Why don't we go there and steal something? God, said the offensive beggar, this nasty king is just exploiting his citizens. Now we will exploit him. So both of them went through secret gate into the palace, and the king, who was only dressed as a beggar, gave him a tour through the palace, and everywhere the beggar could see the good works of the king. He came to the public kitchen, from where the palace distributed food to the needy. He came to the servants' quarters, and they found out that the servants talked about the king and his benevolent acts upon them. In this way, as the offensive beggar was brought on a tour through the palace, he had an opportunity to correct his image, his mistaken image. The king was not an exploiter, he learned, but he cared for everyone. Then the king, who was dressed up like a beggar, said, now we will see the throne of the king, but you just give me a chance. I will be back in in 1 minute. So the king, who was dressed as a beggar, went somewhere, changed his dress into the dress of the king, and sat on the throne, and then called the offensive beggar, who was slowly reforming, into the throne hall, and the beggar could see, "My God, that person who showed me gradually everything, that person is the king himself, but I didn't recognize him because he came to me in a disguised form." And in this way, he surrendered fully to the king. He cried and he begged forgiveness and he praised him till the end of his life. So this is a little bit an analogy of how the holy name first is Krishna coming, but in a disguised form. He shows us the secrets of spiritual life by and by, and gives us a glimpse into the true spiritual reality by and by. Like I think yesterday, some of you told me when they chanted in Teh Kadamba, or when we were in the Rasa Kunj, you know, that place near that quadrangular pond. Sometimes we had a glimpse of happiness, a glimpse of spiritual satisfaction, sometimes a glimpse of what was yet to come. So when you asked, how does the knowledge that the name and the Lord are non-different help one? I think it's very helpful to know that I'm dealing with a very powerful process. I should be careful. I should give it enough attention, enough respect, enough time, enough priority in my life, so that gradually the holy name can reveal more and more of his glories as he sees fit. Would you like to pick a question?
White, and there's one blue one. We'll take the blue one.
You have to be careful to
That one's for you.
Yeah.
While chanting the 64 rounds, my mind focuses on something that has upset me and disturbed me, and it goes on and on as if it was a tape recorder. Well, pull out the batteries or the plug. This interferes with my chanting. I think this might be the same handwriting. No. And because of interference between Krishna and I, how to remove this obsession to think again and again over the same thing? Well, there's two levels that we speak about. One is, this is the very nature of the mind to want to distract us, to keep us in the material world. And the mechanism by which it does this is icha dvesha samutena dvanva mohena bharata. It makes us hold on to things that we don't want, and it makes us long for things that we do want. Now, strangely enough, one would think naturally that the things that I do want are stronger than the things I don't want. But strangely enough, the things that we are averse to, that we don't want, are actually stronger. The attachment of the mind to the things we don't want is actually even stronger than the attachment of the mind to the things that we do want. The example that's given, Shishupala is glorified because of his envious nature. His focus on Krishna was incredibly strong because of on envy and anger, and Kamsa on his fear, because of his fear. So understanding this wicked nature of the mind
and I chose that word very carefully, wicked nature of the mind, that it wants to hold on to the things that give you pain and difficulty even more than it wants to hold on to the things on the material level that give you pleasure, that we have to see the mind for what it is. Now, if one reads in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, if one reads the song of the Avanti Brahmana, which I won't tell the whole pastime right now, but it's so wonderful, but we'll tell the conclusion. Itans astaya paratmanistam. But his conclusion is that there is only one cause of misery in this world. There is one cause of suffering in this world. And that one cause of suffering is
mind.
The mind. It's not the planet. It's not this. It's not anything other than the mind. So understanding that, it is our duty to neglect the mind. Duty meaning that it is in our self-interest. Otherwise the mind will drag us over the entire universe again and again. That's Brahmanda Brahmate. Over the universe again and again, seeking pleasure where it is not and trying to avoid misery. So we have to neglect the mind. But to neglect the mind, you have to give it a positive engagement, or I have to give it a positive engagement. And that positive engagement is the simple process of one, since this is in relationship to japa, is to chant Krishna's name and try our best to focus attentively on Krishna's name. And because that can become mechanical too, and it's not the end of the process, we also think of the meaning of the mantra. That this is not just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, and it doesn't have any meaning. There's a purpose to it. It's Krishna. It's different from chanting Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola, Limca, 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 or like that. It's far different from that. Even though I don't realize it, I'm associating with Krishna. So I'm chanting and I'm thinking of my relationship with Krishna, not thinking of it in the sense of this is different from my chanting. It's got to do with the mood, as Maharaj was saying. Just like I could say somebody's name, Vaibhav. I could say his name and I could call him like his mother calls him with so much affection. And there's not a difference between saying his name and calling him with affection. They become one thing. And the calling becomes even more potent because it's one thing and the affection adds to it. In the same way, the oh Krishna, may I serve you, and the prayerfulness of that, it doesn't distract us from hearing. Rather, it does the opposite. It intensifies our hearing. It no longer is mechanical. So we neglect the mind. There's different moods of neglecting the mind. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur recommended beating it with a stick, and that doesn't work very well for a lot of people because it gets even stronger and rawr, the mind, I'll get you back for this. And the Raghunath Das Goswami methodology is, my dear mind, I fall before you and beg you, please develop unprecedented rati for the holy names, for the spiritual master. So we can deal with it very, very gently in that way. My dear mind, I'm not asking you much, just please hear the first hari. Little. So we have to deal with this, but this is the essential principle. If we decide that we're going to surrender to the mind, our fate is very, very unfortunate and dark. And if we decide to surrender to Krishna, even though we may not be successful at doing it, if we decide that we want to love Krishna and experience that he and his name are the same, then we make our humble attempt to do that, then Krishna will help us
and we are on the right path.
How nice you explained this morning. Very good. Here's a question. During your address to me, during Maharaj, during your Krishna Katha, you said that Krishna does not see our faults. Question. Where from do all these Nam Seva apparats come and appear? Have you been attentive? Should I repeat the question, Shyamananda? That's Yamachandra? Yeah? During your Krishna Katha, you said that Krishna does not see our faults. Question. Now, then, where from do all Nams and Seva apparats come and appear if Krishna doesn't see them? What is it? The question is clear. This is a wonderful question. Thank you so much for asking this wonderful question. I will try to be brief, but I will be more elaborate on the Govardhan Katha and the Govardhan seminar on this. From Krishna's perspective, in fact, he sees all contacts with him as glorious. Now, this doesn't mean that we, from our perspective, should offer Krishna faulty things. So Seva Apparat and Nam Apparat is what we need to consider in order to become devotees of Krishna. But Krishna himself is so kind that he just doesn't seem to see the faults. I would like to tell you, and I told you the example of how Krishna thought about Kaliya. Now, listen to this. After Indra had attacked the residents of Vrindavan in an attempt to murder them, Sachi Devi, his wife, had a serious talk with him and said, I think you need to go to Krishna to excuse yourself. And Indra could see the point, but he was afraid. What if I go to Krishna and he will ask, now, first you try to murder my people and myself, and now you come to say excuses. He was afraid that Krishna would just greet him with his chakra and take his head off. Or he would tell the cowherd boys, whom Indra now understood to be glorious and dear to Krishna, would just take their sticks and beat him. So, but still, he was convinced. Brahma also preached to him, go and say sorry to Krishna. So Indra did it. He walked behind the Surabhi cow. He didn't ride on his elephant, Airavata, because he thought, I better play it low-key now. And he came to Krishna. And he was really trembling with fear that I'm getting the sauce now, which I deserve. Krishna will most properly said, up till now I have protected my dear devotees, but now I will deal with you. I will call Yamaraj. It's your end. So Indra was really afraid. And do you know what happened? When Krishna saw him, he got up and said, oh Indra, you have come to me from so far. I'm so grateful. I'm sorry that I inconvenienced you by taking the yajna which was meant for you and using it differently. Please forgive me. This is Krishna. You know, he is different than the Christian God with his angry and frustrated eyes. Now, my dear devotees, this does not mean for a devotee, okay, Krishna is lenient, then you let me urinate on the temple wall, you know, or do...
That's gross.
That's German. That's how you say it. When you say something bad in German, it always has to do with these restroom activities. You know? We should, as devotees, do our best to be nice, to serve Krishna, and therefore the Shastras, who advise conditioned souls like us, and the Acharyas hint at us that don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other thing. We need to do that. We need to learn this. So the faults, where do they come from? They appear in us, we need to take care of it if we want to become loving, affectionate devotees. We don't take advantage of Krishna's mercy. Therefore, it's the seventh offense to sin on the strength of chanting. No? We don't take advantage of this wonderful Lord of mercy. We feel the way when I hear that Krishna accepts me with all my faults, you know, I become so absolutely really, then I'm ready to give my best. But if I would hear God just counts your faults, then I feel, well, there is no hope for me then, and also, you know, then, you know, I really don't care if he's like the GBC, you know. Oh, I should not. Yes, I don't care. If I feel loved and cared for, then I give everything I have. If I feel censored, then I hold back. So we should do seva and nama para. We should avoid them if we want to become devotees. Tested you. I must say something which is very important for me. When I use examples of contemporary nature, like what I just said about GBC, I think the GBC does a wonderful service. It's not like this. I'm just using concepts which are known the way they are used colloquially in Hare Krishna. Good. So what do we do now?
I mean, transfer to the microphones.
Yeah. There were two devotees at the microphones. Yes, Mataji, please speak.
How do we keep up with the enthusiasm of the retreat? Because there are so many bad habits which I have for so many years, and already I was slipping this morning. So what would your advice be to keep up with this, to keep up with the good habit which we formed and we're trying to kind of keep up during these 5 days that we have been here? Thank you.
Mataji, could you park your question? There will be a session all about that.
Okay.
Taking the retreat home, and there your question will be answered in detail.
Thank
but
you,
Mataji. It's a very important question, and it will be answered then. Mm-hmm. It's so important that it has its own session. Mm-hmm. So there was a devotee standing at the microphone, getting ready. Good. Please ask your question, Prabhu.
Please give us some guidelines how to do offenseless kirtana by the leading devotee as well as the following devotees.
I was unable to understand.
See, we do kirtana in a group.
Yes.
So the leading devotee, he starts, and the following devotees follow him. So how to do the offenseless kirtana in that way?
I'm afraid that if I answer your question in the simplest way, I won't get to the heart of actually what you want to know, what you're actually asking. But I will answer it in the obvious way, and then you can ask, maybe clarify it to see if you want to know something more. Is that all right?
Okay.
Because there are 10 offenses, especially against the holy name, and we avoid those offenses. They all ran away from my mind right now. What's the first one?
Blaspheming those.
Spread. What's the Sanskrit? Yeah. So we don't criticize the devotees. We don't commit sins on the and then think that by chanting the reactions will be removed. We don't consider chanting the holy name the same as the ritualistic activities prescribed in the Vedas. We don't think that the glories of the holy name, which are so extensive, we don't think that they are imagination. And in this way, as we are in the same way that we're chanting japa, and we avoid those, we avoid doing those things, or thinking those thoughts as much as we can, or speaking them especially in relationship to kirtan as well. Now that's the obvious answer, but I don't think it's really what you were asking for. So,
in fact, you know, when we had this Akhand Kirtana on that day, so the different leading devotees, you know, took about an hour to lead, and the followers keep following. So that we could observe should be the guidelines how to do, you know, in a group kirtana.
So it sounds more like a suggestion that when people do kirtan, if I've understood you correctly, we should do it in a specific way, meaning the leader should lead and the followers follow. Is that what?
Yeah.
Have I understood you correctly?
Yes, sir.
You mean this, and so implied in that is in some circumstances, it's not like that, perhaps.
Yes, you know, even the background music like Kartal, Bradangam, they sound much more than the sound of the Kirtana.
Okay. So sometimes, if I've understood you correctly, sometimes the kartals and the madanga are louder than the kirtan, and it's hard to concentrate on the holy name. Is that correct?
That's right.
I agree. What to do?
Yes.
One thing I've learned in life. It is very difficult to change the world and get them to agree with what I think is best for it. So mostly I mind my own business and I carry with me earplugs. I always like to show them to you. And because as I get older and my ears get more sensitive, because the vata increases as we get older, and tinnitus, the ringing in the ears is there. So I don't want to criticize, don't want to change them because I won't be able to change them. And I don't want to... One time I was in the Krishna Balaram Mandir. Everyone has different things that disturb them. So one of the things that disturbs me, and when the young... Usually, it's always the young men. They hold on to each other and they put this wild look in their eye and they just spin around and spin around and spin around. And everyone just stares at them and no one pays any attention to the holy name. So, and it's dangerous too, especially if you're older already. So I was in Krishna Balaram Mandir, and these two exuberant young men
had wild looks in their eyes. And they were spinning around and spinning around and spinning around. And I moved back and back and back just to protect my own life. Nothing. But I was getting very, very upset. I was getting really upset. And then they did it. They knocked into this old Brijbasi lady. And they knocked her down. And I was ready to, okay. And I was going to go over to them. And then I saw the Brijbasi lady. She just got up and just kept looking at the deity. She didn't even notice. I thought, okay, the world doesn't need me to fix it anymore. It's clear. Anyway, she didn't notice. She just kept her mind focused on Krishna Balaram. And I thought, I should do the same.
See, as it is said, you know, the holy name and the Krishna, they are non-different. So the holy name, Kirtana, should dominate anything else. See, the following the music should not dominate Krishna.
So this wasn't exactly a question, was it? So, that's why I said, if your question was how to change the world to go along with this, you're asking the wrong person, because I've given up. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna.
Lots of times I've heard the phrase, the sweet will of the Lord or the sweet will of Krishna. And lots of times we may all try very sincerely, even though our sincerity may be tinged with false ego. I would like to know, how do we respond if the sweet will of the Lord turns his glance away from us?
Deep question.
What a wonderful question. I don't think that the sweet will, the sweet glance of the Lord really turns away from us, but I know of many situations where it appears to be like that. We always are under the care of the Lord. We breathe His oxygen. We have food. We can live our life. We have always unlimited opportunities before us. But there may be a change of dealing with the Lord. He sometimes apparently moves a little in the distance, and he has explained why he does this. You know, at that time when Krishna looks into the distance, his sweet glance is still upon us, but from the distance. He has explained why he does this in relationship to the gopis when he apparently left them after he called them into the forest of Vrindavan. Later, he reappeared and the gopis asked him, "Hey Krishna, what did you do? First you call us and then you disappear. What is your reason? Are you maybe, you know?" And they offered a few possibilities. Are you this or that? And then they said what they really thought. Are you maybe ungrateful? Don't you see our services and our attachment to you? And then Krishna had to answer these questions. And he said, "O gopis who do not understand my real intentions, let me now explain them." And then he said that he sometimes disappears from his devotees in order to increase their longing for him. And it is this longing, this increase of affection, you could say, that brings a devotee into the close proximity and of the Lord and the personal service. Only an affectionate soul has that opportunity to be close and direct service with Krishna. Someone who has no affection doesn't even want this, maybe. So But as the gopis were looking for Krishna, thinking he had disappeared, there's a very nice painting illustrates this. Krishna was following them and seeing how do they react. So when the Lord's sweet glance or sweet will seems to be away from you, you should know he's just looking at from the distance to find out how am I doing now. Will I now say, okay, I get another Lord? Shiva maybe, or Ganesh, or Kartikeya, and so on. Or will I keep in that relationship? I believe all relationships are like this. The mother, for instance, will at a stage does not breastfeed her child any longer. I think if the child now would turn away from the mother would rightly be disappointed with the child. So Krishna sometimes keeps certain graces, certain attention, certain cares away from his devotee, and he feels very heartbroken if the devotee doesn't understand that Krishna thinks it's now time for another development of yet another aspect in the relationship. When a devotee is feeling that, oh, my Lord left me, I'm sick, I'm heartbroken, I'm disappointed, where did this Krishna consciousness bring me to? When he feels like this, it is very much, it's very good if the devotee goes to the medicinal centers which are there, that is, to the places where other devotees engage in kirtan and Krishna katha, and in this way he can stabilize his face, the devotee. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for this very deep question. Very, yes.
Was ist die Zeit? What is the time?
Ho ho! We are quickly arriving at the end of this session, which was supposed to end at 10. We have 5 minutes to 10, and I think we should just take one or at most two more questions.
Should we pull them from the mountain?
Yeah, well, is there a microphone, Vola? A microphone? It's yes, Prabhu. Your good name was Arjuna?
Brajmohan Das.
Oh, Brajmohan Prabhu, yes. Please, Brajmohan Prabhu.
Thank you so much. Maharaj, how do we get some realizations on Dham Tattva? How can we serve the Dham? How does the Dham reciprocate? What should we look for?
Yeah, Krishna. I think this is a very good question, and I think both of us should answer according to their perspectives. The question I would like to repeat is, how should we approach the Dham Tattva? How will the Dham reciprocate? When will it reciprocate and reveal more of its glories to us? Something like that, isn't it? Or
the last thing was,
yes.
What should we look for?
What should we look for in the Holy Dham? Well, this is a wonderful question. You must know, first of all, that there are two dimensions of the Dham. The Dham, as you see it with your material senses, this is called the Drishtaman Dham. And then there is the Dham which is not accessible to your senses, which is the Adrishtaman Dham. Huh? So that you need to understand. It's like that with the holy name also. We all hear the holy name, but there are dimensions in the holy name which we don't perceive like that he is not, at least not always, that he is identical with his form and his qualities and ultimately his pastimes. So here the Dham is an open secret, open in the sense that everyone can go to the visible and touchable holy Dham, and it's a secret because there is so much more in the Dham which at the present moment we cannot yet see and perceive. So how do we make Krishna, how do we make the Dham and reciprocate? There is a very important shloka by Rupa Goswami who says, Atashi Krishna na madi na bhavet grayam indriyai. Krishna, his name and adi means etc., and one of the things which is in that etc. is his holy Dham, cannot be seen by the gross material senses. However, it can be revealed if one turns to Krishna in service. So if you want the Dham to reveal itself more and more, you should engage in some service to the Dham. Service to the Dham includes service to the Dham Vasis. Service to the Holy Dham includes also service to Krishna, like for instance chanting. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave us one key to unlock that Adrishtaman Dham, that Dham which is not perceivable to our senses. He said, Dham means Naam. That I have taken as my key. And what you can expect in the Holy Dham, what can come is the Holy Dham has two energies, and you will see these two energies working in increasing ways when you are here with a service attitude. These two energies of the Holy Dham are the Taraka Shakti, that is that which liberates you, and the Paraka Shakti, that which attracts you to Krishna. When you do service in the Holy Dham, you will be in an amazing way liberated from your old life, your mental conceptions, and so on. And you will feel the sweetness of Krishna and become attracted to Krishna. And I believe you all have made this experience during during your stay in Vrindavan, during your many stays in Vrindavan. And I would like to share a little example of myself, which I had, where the Dham I felt revealed, gave some revelation. I was sitting at the side of Giriraj during the Kartik month, and I had gone with my little red bicycle around Giriraj and just parked my bicycle in some ashram and then went into the forest under a tree to chant. I had hoped that this would be my best session, but it was my worstest because it was noontime and I was very tired and exhausted, and I always dozed off. And then my mind became so irritated. Oh, why do I always fall asleep? You know, where is a pistol? I kill myself. You know, we are from Germany. We are a little intense by nature. What to do? And I was getting... then my mind started to wander. Anyways, you know, this... You know, I should go just, you know, this doesn't work, you know. And I was really getting obstinate. And finally I said, enough, mind, enough. But then this other thing, and I started to pray, oh, Krishna, please help me. And then I prayed, oh, Krishna, can you give me a sign that you that you are there and you see and appreciate maybe a little bit my effort. And then I thought, oh no, we shouldn't ask for these things. And I was willing to wipe it off the slate of my desire list, you know. So as I prayed, oh, can you give me a sign? I continued to chant. And all of a sudden, I heard a loud sound, a screeching. And I whirled around and I saw a scene which totally frightened me. I saw a black cobra coming at me, being only 2.50 meters or 53 away from me. And the second thing, a parrot attacking that black cobra, flying sometimes to the left side of the cobra and the right side to the cobra. And the cobra was irritated. It could not progress very swiftly with this disturbing green parrot attacking it like a bomber, you know, flying attacks. You can't go to take your prasadam when a crow flies at you and attacks you. In the same way, the cobra couldn't take its victim when the green parrot came upon him. And so I immediately jumped up and I ran, because that's what you do when you see a cobra coming at you. Ran out of harm's reach. And the moment I had made a distance of, say, 30 to 40 meters, the parrot stopped his attacks and went somewhere else. And the cobra also thought, well, he's too far. Let's go to my little hole in Govardhan Mountain. You know. So I had prayed for a sign, and Krishna chose to show, here, do you see, I'm protecting you, I'm caring for you. Why are you always so obstinate and so unfaithful? You know, and I really bowed down and said, I'm very sorry. And I wanted to say, it's only my mind, Krishna, please don't take it serious. But I didn't feel that was appropriate. I took full responsibility. So I felt I had seen a little of the Paraka Shakti, the energy of the Lord, which the energy of the Dham, which liberates a person from his karma. I should have maybe been bitten by the cobra. By the way, that's not such a bad end, you know, that under a tree near to Giriraj, and that would be a glorious end to a miserable life, you know. But coming to the core of your question, the Holy Dham will reveal himself by service. And the main service is to be done at the Holy Dham. That's what Prabhupada also said, is Shravanam and Kirtanam. Hearing about Krishna. That's what pilgrims do at the Holy Dham. Hearing about Krishna and chanting his names. These are what pilgrims do. Maybe when you stay for longer, you take other services like projects, like temples or so on. There's only one road which will bring you to Vrindavan. That's the road of seva, but there are many roads of enjoyment which will bring you to a village in, where are we here? Uttar Pradesh. But that's not Vrindavan. All those who stay on the enjoyment road, they come to a village in Uttar Pradesh, which you will find on the Google Maps. of your smartphones as designed as Vrindavan, but that's not the Vrindavan the scriptures speak about. Vrindavan, the scriptures speak about, is a place where everyone serves Krishna. Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, even the rivers, even the trees, even the dust, everyone serves Krishna. If you wish to enter that Vrindavan, you must join the service league. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your wonderful question. And then the Dham will reveal himself by showing maybe some of these energies. You know, that's what a person does when he reveals himself. He says, would you like to eat what I cooked? You know, his cooking Shakti we can experience at that time. The Krishna has many gifts ready which will be given by the Shakti, the Dham Shakti to you. Hare Krishna. Yes, thank you very much.
No, that was full.
Okay, so then we will end the question and answer session here.